Welcome to International Personal Finance's 2017 Quarter 3 Trading Update Briefing, hosted by Gerard Rowe, Chief Executive Officer, and Justin Lockwood, Chief Financial Officer. To ask a question after today's presentation, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Today's call is being recorded. I will now hand you over to Gerard Rowe to begin today's conference. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Keith. Good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining us this morning. I'm with Justin Lockwood here, and we actually happen to be sitting in Warsaw this morning during this call. Hopefully, you've had a chance to look at our statement, our update. So let me take you through some of the highlights, and as Keith said, we'll open it up for Q&A at the end. So what you'll have seen is that we deliver credit issue growth for the group of 5% for the quarter, and clearly that's driven by our two growth businesses, which are IPF Digital, and that grew by 40%, and then Mexico Home Credit, which, notwithstanding the issues with earthquakes, actually grew by 6% in the quarter. Clearly, credit quality is hugely important to us. I'm pleased to say that, once again, we're at the lower end of our target rate for impairment to revenue, so 26.2%. If we look at the individual businesses, so let's first of all deal with Home Credit in Europe. Now, as you know, Home Credit in Europe, we've divided into Northern Europe and Southern Europe. Northern Europe, which consists of Poland and the Czech Republic. So what we saw there was a contraction overall of 2%. But clearly, there are two different stories there. You know, Czech Republic continues to be intensely competitive. So no new news coming out of there. Essentially, what we see is a buoyant economy, and we see the banks coming down and top-slicing our best-quality customers. In contrast, in Poland, we saw a growth of 2%, which was very pleasing, and we're beginning to see the contribution coming through now from our Provident-branded digital offering. So that's essentially where we've opened up a digital channel for Provident customers when they come onto our website, and that's beginning to build momentum, and we're seeing that in the business. Collections are good in both countries, and impairment to revenue is at 23.3%, so below our target range, in fact. In Southern Europe, which is Hungary and Romania, definitely a story of two halves there. Credit issued for that region contracted by 3%, but we had a very good growth story in Hungary, so plus 10%. Now, contrast that with Romania, where, you know, we've spoken before about the changes that came into creditworthiness regulations at the start of the year and the impact they're having in our business. And what we saw there then was a contraction in Romania of 17% in the quarter. You will see that impairment as a percentage of revenue is very low, so less than 14%, 13.6%. What I can confirm is that underlying collections are in fact very strong. But the reason why it's so low in this particular quarter is we had a couple of very significant debt sales in Romania, and they contributed very well there. I'll come on and talk about some other regulatory issues in Romania in a couple of minutes. So overall, for Southern Europe, a balance between a very positive growth story in Hungary and then the contraction that we're experiencing in Romania. In Mexico Home Credit, now, we were doing really well there, as you know. We had very good growth in the first half of the year. In July and August, we continued that, so we had 16% top-line growth. And then, clearly, we got hit by the earthquakes in September. So what we saw was a reversal and a 7% contraction in September. Now, I have to say our primary goal, first of all, is to ensure that all of our people are safe. And it's almost a miracle that with over 12,000 people in the country, we had absolutely no fatalities and we had one minor injury. However, it is clear that it has disrupted the business because it's essentially disrupted the country. And so what we saw was that our business was down for about 24 hours, but at the end of that 24 hours, practically everything was back up and running. But you know, I think the real issue now is more the psychological impact, and it's the cumulative impact of both the earthquakes but also a number of hurricanes that had been blowing through the country over the previous 4 to 6 weeks. So, you know, my view would be that in respect of this disruption, it is temporary, and I can confirm already that what we're seeing is a return to growth mode. So in October, we're back up to 3% growth, so bouncing back from a minus 7% in September, and collections is getting back on track as well. Now, impairment as a percentage of revenue, we saw it climb slightly to 34.8%. But as I say, I believe that this is it's more like a speed bump and one that we will come back from. Moving on to digital, well, our digital business goes from strength to strength, and what we saw there was credit issue growth up by 40% for the business as a whole. Clearly, we split that into two, so our established markets were up by 21%, so it continues to be a very credible performance for established markets. And then the new markets, and this is basically principally around Spain and Poland, they were up by 80%. So really good overall top-line growth performance there. You'll also have noted that impairment to revenue ticked up a bit, but there's nothing to be unduly worried about in that. That's simply a change in the mix. So as the new markets grow, clearly we're testing new scorecards and pushing out more credit, and we would expect to see that normalize as those markets mature. And what I can say is that as we look at a lot more leading key performance indicators, including first payment default and second payment default, we can see that the trends in those are all positive across these countries. So nothing to be worried about there on the impairment side. Moving on to regulation, so I guess the most important piece is the what we call the total cost of credit proposed changes in Poland. What I can say is that we continue to be in positive dialogue with the government ministries about this, but I can also confirm that the Minister for Justice and his team are, I would say, preoccupied with other agenda items at this stage. And so there is no real news to report. They had a recent conference, and this is the Minister of Finance who comes from one of the coalition parties. They had a party conference about a week ago, and he was asked about what achievements his department had made, and he talked about lots of things. And then he was asked about things he might achieve in the future. He did talk about usurious practices, but only very, very briefly, and only in reference to peer-to-peer, which is where this whole thing started out. So no new news. They have all of the reports that have been commissioned that demonstrate that the market we're in behaves and that the current cap is effective. So, you know, we'll try and guide to a better outcome than he had planned there. If we move on to Romania, now at the half year, we talked about the fact that we thought a rate cap implementation was imminent. And what's actually happened is they've effectively brought in something similar, but it's nuanced. And the simplest way to put it is that up until now, we've always been on what's called the general registry. And there are a set of rules that guide whether you're on the general registry or the special registry. With the new changes that come in, we will actually move to the special registry, which will mean closer supervision by the National Bank. And in effect, what that is likely to mean is that there will be a knock-on impact on our top-line growth because there will be further restrictions put on who we can lend to. Now, we're not in a position to actually quantify that for you just yet for the simple reason that, you know, it's our expectation that we will move on to the special registry probably at around the end of February. And between now and then, we will be agreeing what are called the business norms with the National Bank. And that's effectively where you get into bilateral discussions to talk about your business practices in a lot of detail and then to formalize and agree those with the bank. So my expectation would be that we will have clarity on those discussions probably sometime around our annual results. Now, finally, moving on to the tax on the regulatory side, the reason we're in Warsaw today is that I was here yesterday for a meeting with the Vice Minister for Finance. So he is the gentleman who is shepherding the tax bill through the Parliament. And he agreed to meet with us, and so I was with him for just over an hour. What I can say is it was a very constructive discussion, and we were able to put our points to him in respect of how this would impact our business, and we could end up with a tax rate that was very, very significant. And it's fair to say that intellectually he gets all of those arguments and understands that. And I can quote him and say that it was never our intention to have that impact on your business. However, he did also add that we can't create tax legislation designed for individual companies. So, you know, we had just over an hour of discussion, and it was just the Vice Minister and myself and one of our team. The discussions were constructive, but what I would say is that we should assume that there won't be any major changes to the proposed tax changes that are already out there. Now, it will continue to go through the formal process, and that means that through the committee stage and then back into Parliament in both the lower and upper houses before it would get signed by the President. And, you know, it is fair to assume that it will all be done and dusted by the end of November, but our working hypothesis is that the announcement we've already made and as to the potential impact of these changes should stand, because we don't believe there'll be anything dramatic that will change in those over the next few weeks. On funding then, our balance sheet, as I said, in terms of portfolio quality is very good. And on the funding at the half year, we reported headroom on our facilities of 140 million, and that is now up to 160 million. So as we look to the end of the year now, we just have a few weeks to go, but clearly quarter four is very important for trading for us. You know, we're satisfied with trading in Europe. There are pluses and minuses in there. And in particular, Southern Europe is putting in a very strong performance, notwithstanding what's happening in Romania. Clearly, we've had this temporary disruption in Mexico, and I would say it is temporary. So for the year as a whole, when we look at the guidance that's already at the consensus that's there, we're comfortable with all that. We're not seeking to change any of that. It's just that the mix will be slightly different. So you'll see slightly higher impairment in Mexico than we were targeting and slightly slower growth rate as we recover into the end of the year and through into quarter one. But you'll see a slightly better performance to compensate for that in Europe. And then continued really good and solid growth in our digital operations as well. So overall, committed to the year-end numbers, no change there for the group. So that's it in terms of the operations as a whole. Justin, anything to add on that?
No, I think that's a very comprehensive summary.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Keith, so with that, we'd like to open it up for any questions that might be, please.
Perfect, thank you. And as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, that's star 1 on your telephone keypad for a question. We do have our first question from Owen Jones from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thank you. I have two questions, please. The first on Czech Republic. What, if anything, are you aiming to do or what are you able to do with regards to the retention of some of your better customers? You mentioned the top slicing effect from some of the banks coming into your customer segment. I'm particularly thinking about pricing, for example, or perhaps some sort of product review. Second question on Poland. Can you give us the split or the moving parts, please, behind the 2% growth between home credit and the digital business? Thank you.
Okay, morning, all. Okay, so obviously two parts there. On Czech Republic, yes, it is just down to competitive pressure. And as I mentioned at the half year, there is more business available to us out there, but our view would be that it is mispriced for risk. And so I have no desire to write that business. I would prefer to be smaller, but to have sensibly priced risk on the balance sheet. As regards what we're going to do to combat this, we've talked before about the fact that we will be launching a digital business in the Czech Republic, and that should be up and running by the end of the first quarter. And clearly, digital appeals to, aspirationally, to a better quality customer. So we would be targeting that directly at our best quality customers because, you know, when you do digital, you don't see the customer. So by definition, they have to be better quality. They have to have a deeper credit footprint that you can access and make a sensible credit decision on. So that should be up and running by the end of the first quarter, and that will be the primary way of reacting to that competition. On Poland, we don't provide the split between digital and the home credit agent business. But it's fair to say that the agent business is still by far, you know, hugely the dominant business. It's just that the digital is now beginning to gain momentum, both in terms of customer numbers and value issued.
Okay, so from that, can we conclude that some of the measures that you've put in place in Poland are beginning to become successful?
Well, it's just that we have a very substantial business there. It is a fairly mature market, and what we have is a really experienced team who, you know, react to competition, design new promotions, do new advertising, lots of very smart stuff. And what we've seen in the quarter is the output from that, which is, you know, a positive tick up in results. So I don't think there's any dramatic change there, but it's just positive to report that we're winning back some customers out in the marketplace.
Okay, thank you.
And as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We do have our next question from Portia Patel from Liberum. Please go ahead.
Morning, it's Portia Patel from Liberum. I was just wondering, with regard to the corporate tax changes in Poland, could you give us an update on the mitigating factors you're considering and whether these have evolved from what you outlined at the previous update? Thank you.
Morning, Portia. Sorry, Justin.
Yeah, Portia. Now, I mean, clearly we're about 2 weeks into this process. We're working through a number of options to prioritise and move them forward, but there's no real update from where we were 2 weeks ago.
It's essentially what the tax proposals say is that if you do CDSs, for want of a better description, with third parties, those are tax effective. Whereas if you do intra-group CDSs, those would be tax ineffective. Now, we've always done them intra-group, and it's worked very effectively. What we would seek to do clearly is to see if we could find a similar type instrument in the market. But, you know, ours is a very large business, even by Polish standards, and it is also a very particular type of business. So finding the counterparty will take some effort, and that is what we're focused on now. In my discussions with the Vice Minister of Finance yesterday, we discussed this, and he understands that it's not a simple matter of just going out and switching from intra-group to external, but that is the view that they've taken, is that external will be correctly priced. Our view is, well, they're correctly priced and they are subject to audit. So the majority of our work is going into find third parties who would be able to look at our business, assess like we do, and then construct a sensible instrument around that. So as Justin said, we're only 2 weeks in, so that work is underway.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thanks, Portia.
And as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. That's star 1 for a question. We have no further questions over the phone at this point.
Okay, thank you, Keith. So just to wrap up very briefly, you know, a decent set of results for the quarter, but clearly we have the upset in Mexico. But as I said earlier, we can confirm that we're already beginning to see momentum build again, and we've gone from minus 7% to plus 3% in terms of growth in October. And, you know, when you're selling effectively, you're most likely to be collecting effectively as well, and we're beginning to see the momentum return there. Digital doing really very, very well, and then the European home credit, particularly the South, will compensate for any change in the mix of the numbers with Mexico. And then the balance sheet, very good quality in terms of the portfolio and good headroom on our facilities. Clearly, we'll come back to you with more detail if we have anything on any of the regulatory changes. Justin?
Yeah, just one final point from me. We highlight in the statement that we're holding an event where we're doing an IFRS 9 briefing. So this is the new impairment standard that will become effective from January of next year. So that's taking place at Numis's offices on Friday, the 17th of November, and the briefing commences at 9:30. So it'd be great if as many of you as possible could attend that.
Thanks, Justin. Okay, so we'll wrap up with that. Committed to our year-end numbers and look forward to talking to you all again in due course. Thanks very much for joining the call. Thank you, Keith.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude today's call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.